First Samuel chapter 2, commencing to read at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." It would be interesting and important, no doubt, to read the rest of the chapter, but we'll not do that just now. The woman mentioned in the book of Kings is called a great woman. Now, these words are not used in connection with Hannah, but I'm sure that all of us would be quite satisfied that Hannah was a good and a great woman. And I don't know that any of us could fully assess the value of good women, either in the home or in the assembly. Hannah was one of these great women. We see that she was great in prayer. She was great in practice. She was great in praise. And we can see from this chapter, she was great in prophecy. So great was she that I think it was because of her greatness that her husband's name is found in the Bible. Perhaps if it hadn't been for Hannah, we would never have heard of her husband. So great was she that she set things moving that led in large measure to the recovery of the nation. A great woman that God used in bringing the nation back to himself. Now, despite the fact that she was so great and so used of God, I want you first of all to notice that she was a woman who suffered adversity. Well, you know, being right with God, seeking to walk in his ways and please him, does not guarantee immunity from trouble. Some of the choicest of God's saints have been those who suffered very much. Joseph suffered adversity from his brethren at home and from the world outside. Moses suffered adversity from the people of God. For 40 years they nearly broke his heart And the strange thing is, when he died, they wept about him for 30 days. You know, in many ways, we as God's people are strange folk. Quite a number of others suffered adversity. Amongst them, Rutherford, the writer of those lovely hymns. And he said, "Deep waters cross life's pathway. The hedge of thorns was sharp." And am I wrong this evening? Many could use his words. Deep waters cross life's pathway. The hedge of thorns is sharp. But how nice to notice. The day came when he could say, "Now, these all lie behind me. And brethren, it'll not be long until we can say the same." The day came when Hannah's adversity was taken care of by God. And no longer do we see the dear woman in the deep waters of adversity, but we see her rejoicing and praising the God of her deliverance. Not only was she a woman who suffered adversity, she was a woman who had to take a second place. I would take it that she was Elkanah's first wife. And possibly, because she had no children, he took a second. And Hannah finds herself being set aside, pushed into the shadows, someone else coming out, getting publicity and praise. And mind you, it's not easy to experience that. Spurgeon was right when he said, "It takes more grace than I can tell to play the second fiddle well." But nice it is to notice that in her adversity, she didn't at all seek to retaliate. Her name means grace. She lived up to that. And in the fact that she was pushed aside, she just left that. Wasn't her own fault. It was so arranged by an all-wise God that the good woman is temporarily set aside. Far be it from me this evening to find fault with good men like Peter, James, or John. Oft times I've thought it would have been delightful to have been in their company, to converse with them to hear the Savior pray and preach and watch his miracles. But great men though they were, they had a problem. And if you'd allow me to say it, some of them must have had big families, for there's many of the connection living still. What was their problem? Just this. Which of us shall be the greatest? There wasn't a man amongst them who was prepared to take the second place and let his brother be outstanding. You'll allow me to say it, won't you? This has been the cause of many troubles amongst preachers And I'm a preacher of the son of a preacher. And I'm in good terms with all my preaching brethren. I pray for them every day. It has been the cause of problems amongst brethren in assemblies and amongst assemblies themselves. Which of us shall be the greatest? I think it's nice to see, and I must quickly leave it here. If God attended to Hannah's adversity and dried her tears, He attended to her position. And we hear her say, "Mine horn is exalted in the Lord." My, wouldn't it be a great thing if all of us had the wisdom to fill the little niche that God intends us to fill and leave position with God? For your Bible says, "Promotion cometh not from the east or from the west, but from the Lord." She suffered adversity. She had to take a second place. Third thing I want you to notice quickly is, and this is likely what most of our brethren would emphasize as speaking about Hannah, she was a praying woman. And as has often been said, is it any wonder that her son Samuel was such a praying man? And might I say kindly this evening, it may be if we had more praying mothers, we'd have more praying brethren. Many years since I heard the late Mr. Joseph Stewart of Valamina say, and he had experience, he said, "I would rather have one old praying woman than six preaching men." Not that he made light of preachers or discouraged them. I know he didn't. But seeing the things in the light of the sanctuary, he saw where true values lay. One old praying woman. And as far as Hannah was concerned, prayer was a deep and real exercise. Associated with it, tears, bitterness, continuance. And we read that she poured out her soul before the Lord. Now it's not ours to hear women pray in public. The scripture would not allow that. But sometimes, you know, I thought throughout the years, and I'm not encouraging you to do this, but if we put our ear to the door where some sisters pray, we might get an awakening. She was a woman of prayer. Not given to you sisters to preach or sing solos or pray in public. But listen, sisters, it's given to you to pray. And God only knows what some of us preaching brethren would do if the sisters ceased praying for us. Hannah was a woman of prayer. Why did she pray? First of all, because of the departure of Israel. She was living in those days when there was no king. Everybody did what was right in their own sight. Departure in almost every aspect of life. how would Hannah feel? A woman with a burden and in touch with God. How would she feel? She prayed because of the departure of Israel. Now, I'm not pessimistic, not made that way. I'm thankful. But at the same time, I think we would need to be realistic, would we not? Are we not living in days of departure? Let us each examine our private devotions. Our assembly prayer meetings. Our gospel zeal. Our pilgrim character. Our separation from the world. I think we're honest before God. We would say we all fall down. Maybe more so than we think. Now, Hannah saw the departure. But I just want you to notice quickly as I leave that. I don't anywhere read that Hannah talked about the departure. But I do read that she prayed. You know, they used to tell us about the old woman and she sent for the doctor. Nice, helpful young man. He came, examined her. Then he sat down beside her to talk. And in the course of conversation he said, "My judgment is that you're suffering from nasal catarrh." The simple old sister, she had no idea in the world what he was talking about. She said, "Sir, I didn't send for you to christen this thing. I sent for you to cure it." And it's very easy to get a few folk around the fire at night, around the table, and begin the christening. And if I might be allowed to say so, I think there's far too much of it. Different story to do what Hannah did. Seeing it, she took the matter to the Lord. She prayed because of the departure of Israel. Secondly, she prayed because of the impiety of the priests. I'm not going to enlarge on that, save just to say this, that first of all, their motives were wrong. Because when the offerings were about, what did they say? What did they do? They went for the portion for themselves. Me first. Yes. Their motive wasn't, you know, God's ways and things. Oh no. Me first. And secondly, their morals were not right. And I'm not given to talk publicly about these sensitive matters, save to say this. Young and old amongst us would need to keep this in mind. The God that we have been brought into fellowship with is a God who has said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if that was recognized and observed, it would regulate a whole lot of matters. She prayed because of the departure of Israel. She prayed because of the impiety of the priests. And what more, she prayed for the glory of God. She asked for a little boy. And you know, if she had wanted a little boy to feed and clothe and nurse for herself, why, not a soul of the world could have said a word about it. That's the natural order. But that wasn't what she had in mind. She had this. She had in mind that God would give her a little boy, and that she in turn would give him back to God, that he might be raised up and stay the tide and be a help and a blessing amongst the people of God. She prayed for the glory of God. I attend many meetings, as you know. You do too. But I must say, I sometimes sit back and listen. When certain people are praying, even sometimes when certain people are preaching, and I ask myself the question, is that praying to let the congregation hear? Or is that praying for the glory of God? I leave that. You turn that over in your mind. Hannah prayed. Now we would have thought, and rightly so, that everybody in that day would have said, Hannah, best woman we've had about us for many a day, and everybody would have praised her. Is that right? That's not right. It says about Hannah that she was misunderstood. Misunderstood. And misunderstood by one who should have had discernment, perception, Eli. But we can see this. The man was away in heart from God. He was blind. And not only so, he was hasty in his judgment. And more, he wasn't properly informed. And mind you, if we're going to pass a judgment, we would need to take our time, not be hasty. And we would need to be properly informed. For it's often been said, and rightly so, three sides to every story. Yours and mine and the right one. She was misunderstood. You know, it's very solemn to notice. Eli charged her with being a daughter of Belial. And that's the very thing that God said his sons were. And mind you, if I'm going to pass judgment on other people's families, I would need to be fairly careful as to my own. She was misunderstood. And am I wrong? Many a sister since that has been misunderstood, and many a brother, many a preacher, many an assembly. Man said to me the other day, and you know, it annoyed me. He mentioned one or two saints involved in assembly trouble. He said, they're telling lies. I said, no, your language is far too strong. Don't accuse God's people of telling lies. I said, there might be misunderstandings. But that's another story. You know, Joseph was misunderstood. Oh, but she's got his coat in her hand. There's no smoke without fire, you know. You could trace that right through, but I don't want to be unduly long. Misunderstood. I love to notice this. The day came when God attended to her misunderstanding. In a sense, she could have said with Job, you know, I know that my vindicator liveth. And I think I could see Hannah standing in the presence of Eli, the old priest. And she said, for this child I prayed. I wonder how Eli felt. My, I misjudged her. I misunderstood her. And there she was, a woman in touch with God. And I thought she was this or that. Mind you, it's nice to know, brethren and sisters, that you and I can safely leave our case in the hand of a wise God. For you know it says concerning the Lord Jesus, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. What did he do? He committed not only himself in his case, I judge everything, to the hand of him that judgeth righteous. And it seems to me that Hannah just did the same. She was misunderstood, but God vindicated her. And you know, sometimes I think instead of us trying to take the thing into our own hands and fight our case and justify our position, if we had just enough grace and common sense to leave the situation with God, he would do for us what he did for Hannah. Maybe just one other point, and then I'm through. Suffered adversity. Took a second place. Given to pray. And misunderstood. But what I want to emphasize just here is this. She was a woman who made a covenant with God. Listen to her. She in effect says to God, now you give me a little boy, and I'll give him back to you. But in effect she said, if you do not give to me, I cannot give to you. If you like. Now use the word advisedly. She will do a little business with God. She'll make a covenant, a bargain. It's interesting, I think, to notice how some of these Old Testament characters would have done that. I know some pretty severe on Jacob when he said, if all that thou givest me, the tenth I will give to thee. I wouldn't be severe on him there at all. I'm inclined to think that the goodness of God so overcame Jacob that he in effect said, now, since God will be with me and do this for me, I will give to God. And don't you find God doing the very same, making, shall I say, a bargain, a covenant with his people in Malachi? He said, bring in the tithes. You do your part. I'll open the windows. And I'll pour out the blessing. And Hannah said, in her communion with God, she said, if you give a boy to me, I'll give him back to you. In this connection, I often think of a little experience I had when preaching very far away from here. Some weeks that a number had got saved. There was one comparatively young woman, maybe mid-30s, deeply burdened, stayed behind to talk and weep, didn't seem to be of any help. One day I was alone in my bedroom, and it appealed to me. Now, I never heard of anybody doing this. It just seemed to come to me I was almost going to say out of the blue. I had a little extra money at the time. And in the presence of God, I made a promise that if God would save that woman, what I would do. Now, I got peace of mind when I said that. And I got up to go about getting ready for the meeting. And then the verse from Deuteronomy came to me. Delay not to offer thy first fruits. I thought, I'm in trouble now. I promised God what I'll do, but the girl's not saved. Well, I say reverently, I said, well, I put God to the test. And I sat down and I wrote three letters to laboring brethren. And I sent them a little of what I had extra at the time. Now, not that night, but the next night going out of the meeting, that lady said to me, I got saved. I would wait now. The next night, going out of the meeting, she put an envelope in my hand. I said, you don't need to do that. Oh no, she said, I know I don't need to, but I want to do it. I'm so thankful to be saved. And you know what I have to tell you? In that envelope, to the very cent, what I had sent to laboring brethren. You know, I've been inclined to think and wonder. Now, it may not be money, but it may be that all of us could maybe get a little nearer to God. And shall I say reverently, do business with God as Hannah did. And did God reward her? You know he did. And I'll not take time to enlarge on the closing point, but I want you to notice that God remembered Hannah. And if he did, Hannah remembered God. For she took the little boy, and she took a whole lot of other things as well. Hannah, where are you going? I'm going up to God. What to do? To give to the God who has heard and answered my earnest pleadings. Sisters, could I encourage you to think? One single lady. Now, she was married, but I'm thinking just by herself, single in that sense. Stayed the tide of departure from God. Oh, sisters, what could you do if only there was that exercise of heart as there was with Hannah? And of course, as you would know, I wouldn't exclude the brethren. It may be that if all of us knew a little more of praying as Hannah prayed and promising as Hannah promised, we would have the experience of praising that Hannah had. May the Lord help us to this end.